It feels so good to be chosen. I remember as a kid, very avid in sports, many years younger and pounds lighter and more agile than I am today, we would pick teams. We'd select two captains, and the captains would alternate picking the first player they wanted on their basketball team or soccer team or football team, whether it was at school or on the playground or after school. And it was always a really joyful thing. It made you feel very proud when the captain had his or her first choice for the team and they picked you. And they'd often pick me as their first choice to be on the team because, you know, I was the most athletic or the fastest or the best of the group there. And it made you feel proud. And of course, you felt dejected and depressed and sad when you're the last one left to be chosen because they had no other choice. And well, at least you got to play, but it was embarrassing. On a deeper level, it is a life-changing, profound experience when a person chooses another for the rest of their life in the sacrament of marriage. When coming before the altar, they say, God, I choose you for my life together forever with, of all the women in the world, this one specific woman till death do us part. Or this one specific man, I choose you and no one else till death do us part. That's how families begin. How a life of holiness can begin in the vocation of marriage. To be chosen is a life-changing experience, and it can impact us psychologically for the rest of our lives. As children, just because our parents gave birth to us, we may not necessarily feel chosen by them. We can feel rejected. We might go through an experience of divorce and feel abandoned. Or because of mental health or addiction issues by a parent, we may feel abandoned. But when a parent picks up their child, looks them in the eye and with all of their heart says, you are my son. You are my daughter. I am so proud of you. I love you. It changes the child forever. It changes them forever. I remember teaching summer camp with 4- and 5-year-olds, and I would tell them, you are important. You matter to me. You are worth it. And the kids, they're like sponges. They soak up all that positive energy, that love, that goodness, and they skip off happy as can be. They're so amenable to good and bad. And it transforms a child's life when they can see that in their parent, their father, their mother's gaze, and hear it in their words, that they are beloved and chosen, and that the parent is proud of them. It gives them a sense of identity and confidence. Well, in our faith, God does that to us on the day of our baptism. Just as he did at the hands of John the Baptist when a voice came from the heavens and said, as John was baptizing Jesus, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That's exactly what God speaks over us on the day of our baptism. This is my beloved daughter. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. We haven't earned it. We may be infants. All we do is cry, eat, sleep, go to the bathroom, and mess our diapers. But we are beloved by the Father. In baptism, God chooses us out of an abundance of his love to be his sons and daughters. But as infants, we may not remember, obviously. And as we grow up, our sense of identity is more impacted by maybe how we look or how much money we made or how wealthy or poor our parents are or what we do for a living or how our grades were or how advanced our education was or how good we are at sports. And it's a very impoverished way to value ourselves. But we do. We're human. It's natural. We get a sense of self from how other people look at us, how our parents treat us, our peers treat us. And oftentimes we can grow up our whole lives and never tap into that reality of having been chosen by God above all things, before all things. For the Christian, that is the foundation of our very identity. I am a beloved daughter or son of the Father. Before I am good at sports or have good grades or bad grades or handsome or ugly or cute or rich or poor or popular, I am a beloved son of the Father, a beloved daughter of God. That is who I am. God has spoken that over me by virtue of our baptism and later our confirmation, reaffirming that in its fullness. And that is the identity out of which we must live. The Lord said to me, "You are my servant, through whom I will show my glory." He spoke it to Isaiah. He speaks it to us. Now the Lord has spoken, who formed me as his servant from the womb, and in our baptism claimed us as his own. Do we know that we are chosen? Do we live out of that sense that I have been chosen by God? Whether or not I was chosen first in the sports teams at school, whether or not I was first in my class and my grades, whether or not I was chosen the most likely to succeed at my high school graduation, whether or not my parents, or at least I felt from my parents, chosen or not, because of a divorce or having been abandoned or out of their control, their own death? Do I see above and beyond and before everything else that I am first and foremost God's beloved son or daughter? He has chosen me. And that is the most profound truth of who I am. Because when we accept the fact that we have been chosen, then we are compelled by a life of pointing Christ out to others. That is the man who chose me. Right? John the Baptist said that when Jesus approached him. You should be baptizing me, not I you. But Christ came to him and chose John the Baptist to baptize him. Just as he chose us to be baptized into the church, into a specific family, the Catholic family. And so when we live out of this profound sense of having been chosen by God and the healthy pride and joy and purpose that comes from it, then we live our life always pointing to the one who chose us. This is the God who has done great things for me in spite of what I've been through. I can live with my head held high and a sense of purpose and promise because he has chosen me, unworthy though I am. And I live in the pride, healthy pride, of being a beloved daughter, son of God. That is what makes me who I am. And that's precisely what John the Baptist does. Because he knows who he is, that he has been chosen by God to prepare the way of the Lord, and that Christ chose him to baptize the Savior of the world. He, as soon as he sees Jesus, says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." When someone is chosen, they live a life pointing others to Jesus. That is what it means to be an apostle. An apostle is someone who is called to go out to point others to Jesus. That is the God who saved me. This is the God who gives me hope even now in my sickness, even now in the face of death, even now in the loss of jobs, even now in the struggle financially to get by. That is the God who has chosen me. I am not simply poor or a Mexican or an immigrant or a Chicano or uneducated or a bad student or a basic job. I am a beloved, chosen son or daughter of God the Father. None of that else matters. And in knowing who we are, we live in such a way that belies our background and our history and tells and shows others by what we say and do, this person knows they're much more than what you see on the surface. How we act, how we speak, how we treat one another points them to Jesus or covers him up altogether. It shows them the face of him who has looked upon me and loved me as I am, or covers it and hides him from others, or worse yet, scandalizes those and turns them away from the Lord. But when we are chosen, we live a life pointing others to Christ, and we assure and affirm in them what God has done for us and that he can do it for them as well. You know, there is a internet TV series called The Chosen. Many of you may be familiar with it. It's available online. They have an app called Angel Studios, or if you just Google Chosen the series, it's the first thing that pops up. And they're now in season 3, and I've been watching them, and I haven't found really anything in that artistic licensed series on the life of Christ with his apostles that contradicts our faith. And this particular season 3, episodes 2 and 5 had me in tears. I ran out of tissue. It was so profound to see them, to the best of their ability, capture artistically what Christ did in the Gospels, how the apostles struggled to be called by God and to be sent out, their insecurities, their uncertainties, their lack of confidence, their conflicts, and yet Jesus sends them into the world two by two to proclaim the gospel, to heal. That's episode two of season three. And so, of course, there are 3 seasons. If you haven't seen any of them, definitely binge watch The Chosen. Binge some of Jesus. It's well worth watching on your computers, your smartphone, your TV, however you might access it. It's free. And then in series five, the healing that Christ does and how it is captured in that episode. I mean, just absolutely beautiful and life-changing. And I can't recommend it enough. That series really captures well the challenges and struggles of accepting that we've been chosen by Jesus, overcoming our faults and failings and conflicts and issues to be able to be who he has called us to be, apostles in the world. Because if we're chosen, then we cannot but point to Jesus for others and constantly look to him for our own sake. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. These are the words the priest pronounces as he raises the Eucharist up high. Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word and my soul shall be healed, you respond. You have come here thinking you've chosen Christ, and instead he reminds you that he has already chosen you. The priest does for you what you are called to do out in here, what you are called to do out there. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. You have been chosen. And so now go, as John the Baptist did, and point him out to others.